In this week's episode of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk with the cast of Apple TV's The Sky Is Everywhere. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and it is episode 95 of Pop Culture Weekly. That is 95 glorious episodes of funniness, intelligence, self-reprecating humor, and amazing interviews and funniness. So, in any event, in this week's episode, I hope you're well. Thank you for joining me. Again, I can't do this without you. That's why I do it every single week. And you grow the show. You make it bigger every week. And I can't thank you enough for that. If you haven't yet, please do me a favor. Go to Apple Podcasts and, you know, rate, review the episode. You give it 0 to 5 stars. Whatever stars you think it deserves is perfectly fine. But give it the stars, leave a review. It really does help. And I might just feature your review on the show, good or bad. So, all right. Lots going on, right? We got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend with an amazing looking halftime with Dr. Dre and Mary J. Blige and Kendrick Lamar and Eminem and Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent. And it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait. Something else, Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of days, and a new movie has debuted on Apple TV Plus, and it is called The Sky Is Everywhere. It's from A24, I love that studio, and Apple TV Plus, and it is directed by Josephine Decker, who, if you don't know who Josephine Decker is, one, I'll be interviewing her in this very episode, but two, she's an incredible filmmaker, and actually, she's an actress herself. She directed Shirley, which, if you haven't seen Shirley, I'm going like on a rabbit hole here, but if you haven't seen Shirley, it's about Shirley Jackson's life, who is the novelist Shirley Jackson. And of course, Shirley Jackson wrote such amazing novels as The Haunting of Hill House, The Lottery, and a ton of short stories. So really interesting life that she had. She died really early. I want to say she was 45, 50, something like that. And so Josephine directed Shirley, which was so freaking good. And it was released at Sundance. And just an excellent movie. I highly recommend that you see that. So anyway, coming out of the rabbit hole, Josephine, who directed Shirley, has also directed this film called The Sky Is Everywhere. The Sky Is Everywhere is based on a novel by Jandy Nelson, and it's like a young adult novel. It came out in like 2010, I think, and it tells the story of this high school girl, Lenny Walker, and she's her older sister, who she's extremely close to, passes away. And now Lenny is struggling to cope with that sudden death. And it's interesting because Lenny becomes involved romantically with her sister's fiancé, because they're kind of both going through this shared grief and loss, right? And then this new boy in town who also loves music as much as Lenny. It sounds like it could be corny, right? It's not. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm a huge fan of Baby Driver and how it married music with story and film. The Sky Is Everywhere does that. You know, Josephine did such an amazing job marrying this love of music, and it's just embedded into the heart of this film, and it's really, really good. It stars Grace Kaufman, who you're going to hear from today. Talk to her. Pico Alexander, Jacques Coleman, Jason Segal, love him. It is just a really, really, really good movie. And I highly recommend that you watch it this weekend. Or, you know, Valentine's Day. It makes for a great Valentine's Day film. Check it out. It's a really, really, really good film. I love it. And, you know, I hate romance movies. Hate them. This is not exactly a romance movie. It's very, it puts a twist on romance movies. And that's why I love this. So, check it out. In the meantime, let's talk to the cast of The Sky is Everywhere. First up, so Grace Kaufman plays Lenny in the film. She's the star of the film. You may have seen her in Man with a Plan, the sitcom on CBS, Bad Teacher, and she was also in The Last Ship on TNT. She was in Disney's Whiskerhaven Tales with the Palace Pets, and she really, really, really shines in as Lenny in The Sky is Everywhere. Also on deck for this interview is Jacques Coleman. Jacques is another talented young actor. He played Will in The Society on Netflix, which was such an underrated show. Extremely, again, another extremely talented guy. He is front and center in this film, too. Oh, he was also in Into the Dark. He was on, which is the Blumhouse thing on Hulu. He was in the one called Uncanny Annie, which was so good. He was in Ugly Dolls, and we'll be seeing a lot more from him as well. Then, finally, in this first interview set, is Pico Alexander. So, Pico Alexander has had a long career, even though he's only like 30. He was in A Most Violent Year, which was so good. That's with Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. Really good movie from, I want to say, 7 years ago or so. He was in War Machine with Brad Pitt, Home Again with Reese Witherspoon. He starred in Summer Days, Summer Nights, which if you haven't seen that, it was filmed, written, directed, produced by Edward Burns. Really, really, really good movie, and he starred in that. On the series side, he most recently was in Dickinson on Apple TV Plus, which is really good with Haley Steinfeld. And he played Chip, Henry Shipley. And Orange is the New Black, who's in Blue Bloods, The Carrie Diaries. This guy has been everywhere. Really, really, really talented guy as well. So here is my interview with Grace Kaufman, Jacques Coleman, and Pico Alexander.
You, Jacques, Pico, and Grace for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. So
you're welcome. Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you, Kyle.
Hey.
What's up, Kyle? Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you all. So first of all, the film is absolutely beautiful, both, you know, metaphorically and literally. And you all are, you know, dealing with it. For me, the film is a lot about grief and how we express that grief, deal with that grief, you know, channel it into different relationships and that sort of thing. Was there anything for each of you that that drove that as you portrayed your characters?
I think I'm like reliving it. I think just kind of tapping into the place that I was in just personally over the course of the pandemic up to that point of when we started filming, just with how much uncertainty there was, just how I hadn't gotten to see, you know, so many friends and family for so long, and how I knew so many other people could relate to that. I'd had so many discussions with my friends, you know, where they kind of would channel their feelings of, you know, feeling like they were at a loss, they were experiencing losses of different kinds, you know, to me, and just how isolating that feeling is. And when I got Lenny, I read her story and I resonated with it, because I was just like, granted, I'm very fortunate that I have not lost anybody, you know, very, very close to me. But at the same time, I've experienced different forms of losses. And I get that confusion of, you know, what it's like trying to navigate through that as a teenager. It's confusing. That's like the weight of the world on your shoulders. Like, so I wanted to channel that as well in the character. And I wanted to do it. And I felt so passionate about this project for my friends too, just like, you know, people who were in similar positions to me that I know were experiencing those things as well. And I felt like I could almost like be a voice for them too. So yeah, that was a big thing for me, definitely going into it.
And how about for you, Pico and Jacques?
You want to take it away? I'll take it away. What was the question?
I'll go last. Diving into grief, right? I mean,
exactly.
I'll take it. I feel like, true. I have experienced grief, the loss of loved ones, and the sense is that their bodies may pass, but they're never gone. Legacies are forever, and I think there's. We're in a pandemic. Bees are dying. Water levels are rising. There is plenty to grieve about in this moment. And so Grace is spot on. There's something that we can do collectively in this moment, and express and feel through the art that we're making. And so this movie with Josephine Decker holding the space for all of that grief, with Jandy Nelson making these complex, beautiful characters that are so deeply feeling those highs and lows, was a gift of expression. And so, tapping into grief's natural, but man, what wonderful, amazing people to do it with, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how about for you, Pico?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, we've been talking about grief today, and anytime anybody's died in my family or anybody, you know, anytime anybody dies, I feel like real angry, and I fucking hate it. And I don't really know why it's happening. And I'll try to find ways to, you know, put a silver lining on it. And yeah, it's hard. Like it's really one of those things that'll just throw my whole shit off balance, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like, dang, somebody died. And, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of pain involved and that's just horrible. Mm-hmm. What I do know is that there are still people who are, you know, left alive. And yeah, we got to hold it down for us. And
I love that.
You can just get lost in the grief too. And it feels good in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
You just hold people, man. You just hold on to that you could hold on to that grief for the rest of your life and just, you know, stay burning people around you. I don't know.
I absolutely love that. I think that's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you all for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. I can't wait for everybody to see the film.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Appreciate talking to you too, Kyle.
Take care.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks,
you
man.
As well.
See ya.
Bye.
Peace. Yes, yes, yes. Love them. I love getting like this side of the story. You know, the inside scoop from the actors themselves. Really, really, really talented cast. And I'm telling you, you're going to love this movie. All right. Next up is Josephine Decker. We talked a little bit about before. You know, besides being a director, she's also an actor herself, which I love. You know, she's a writer, producer, director, actor. Love it. And again, I loved her last film, Shirley. So good. And you're going to love this one, too. It is really, 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 really just beautifully shot. I can't tell you enough how much I love how it married this, you know, the music with the story. All right. So anyway, enough blabbing. Here is my interview with the director of The Sky is Everywhere, Josephine Decker. Thank you so much for speaking with me, Josephine. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so glad to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Of course. First of all, congratulations on the film. It's absolutely beautiful. Both the content and how you've translated it from the book to the screen, and the I don't know how to describe it, the soul behind it. I love how you've translated the music, the musical element of it to like a surreal experience. Was that important for you to do going in?
It was. Well, you know, I grew up playing classical music. I was obsessed. I played piano really seriously when I was a young person. I was obsessed with Beethoven. So when I read the script and I was like, this is about two teenagers obsessed with Bach. I just saw myself in it so much. And you know, there was this scene in the garden when they lie down and listen to Bach's Air on G, and it's such a beautiful song. And so I knew I really wanted it to play out for like at least, you know, like a 2-minute section of it, because you want the audience to also fall in love with the music just like they do. But it was written actually to originally just be like flowers blossoming. And then I was like, gosh, you know what? It really feels like it wants to be a dance number, but how do you dance to this like sensual, sensitive piece? And so I was like, well, maybe the roses can become humans and dance around them. And then maybe they can dance too. And so it was a very like simple, subtle dance that we did to this like obviously seminal, huge classical piece that everyone knows. And I worked with choreographer Faye Driscoll on it. And also our costume designer just like came up with those amazing rose costumes. So it was really a joy to work on.
Yeah, and it shows, you know, it was a joy to watch. And for you, you know, grief is such a seminal, you know, center of this film. Was there anything that you drew from for that? Because it's so raw in so many ways.
Yeah. So I read the script, gosh, I think it was like 4 years ago, and fell in love with it. And at the time I was in a very happy place. I was like, I need to make a joy movie. This is going to be the happiest movie I'll ever make. I'm so excited to create it. And then went about, I got attached to the project. And then as we were going out to raise money for it, I had actually just gone through one of the biggest losses I've had in my adult life. And I was dealing with all of this grief and was like, God, I really need this movie. I need a place to process my grief and be with that grief. And so to have those two completely different moments in my life feel embodied by that movie, it just speaks to the strength of Janvi's writing and to the world that she built, that it could hold all of that. And it definitely made it much more salient on set. I think everyone has gone through some grief, even if it's not necessarily losing someone as close to them as Lenny does with her sister. But I think we've all experienced grief in some way, large or small. And so I could feel that the whole cast brought that, and crew brought that understanding, that depth and that richness to the world. We shot the movie during the pandemic and the California wildfires. It was a really challenging moment. We'd all been in our houses alone, really scared for like 5 or 6 months. This is the very beginning of the pandemic in 2020. And so I think we're just so grateful to be working and to come together. And I think everyone brought something very personal to that space. And we're grateful for the community, also grateful to be telling a story that meant so much to all of us.
And I think it's so poignant, especially now with all the grief that, you know, we so many are experiencing. So thank you so much for speaking with me, and thank you for this really a treat of a film. It's such an amazing film. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Isn't she delightful? I really, really enjoy her. I love talking with directors about their projects. You know, they really just conceptualize a whole world, you know, and envision how it's going to be down to insane details. And for me, like I said, I was so in love with the way that this movie married the, and I know I keep saying that, but it's the only way I can describe it, married the music of The Sky Is Everywhere with the film. You know, it makes you, it's, the music is a part, it's a character in the film. That's the best. Oh, that's good, Kyle. I should have put that in my review. In any event, so that is the interviews for The Sky Is Everywhere. I'm telling you, you're going to love this movie. Don't take my word for it. Go and watch it for yourself. Let me know what you think. And let's talk about it on socials. I'm at KMac Music everywhere and at Pop Culture Pod CA on Twitter and Insta and Facebook and everywhere else. So find me, hunt me down. Let's talk pop culture. Let's talk movies and music and TV and streaming and go nuts. All right. I love you guys. Please continue to share and follow and tell your friends. It really is helping grow the show. And I can't do it without you. I love you. I'll see you next week. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.